were those soldiers at home, they would have been eating the same amount. So really, where did the shortage come in, you know? So it's just real, really very foolish. And I feel that way about this last gasoline shortage. How come right after it topped a dollar a gallon, it was all over the place? Before that, I remember sitting in line for 2 and 3 hours trying to get a little, you couldn't even get a tank full. You got whatever they would sell you. And here in California, I think that real people really suffered. I can understand them getting out and having fist fights at the gas pump because you can't get any place in California without a car. It's just real sad.
What was discipline like in your household growing up?
Oh, very strict, I should say so. My mother was boss, and we never argued with her. She used to whip, and at that period of time, people whipped their kids when they disobeyed or did something that disappointed them. And I'm not so sure that wasn't a good idea. Because I don't remember any juvenile delinquents when I was growing up. I go back a long way. Maybe there was nothing to get into. I don't know. But I don't know. Your parents were in charge, and you went right along with that. Of course, we went along with the status quo of just about everything. I don't think people questioned a lot then, especially kids. One reason you were so busy trying to make a living and trying to go to school. For some reason, we all felt very highly going to school and getting an education. But there was not. My mother was a boss, and we never questioned.
What would it be like after your father had been gone for a month, you said, and then he would come home periodically?
He was a very nice man. He just visited us. He didn't bother with discipline or anything like that. He was just a visitor. We were glad to see him. He was glad to see us, and he left, and that was it. But he had no... Well, we would never have disobeyed him anyway. It's just the idea that you respected your parents, and everybody did. It was the end thing, and there was nothing to detract you from doing otherwise, I guess. I don't know. I think people weren't so much influenced by the outside. To me now, all the influence is from the outside. It's very difficult for a family to set any values for the children because somehow the outside dominates now. Your children just cannot be different. And maybe as a child, I never minded being different if anybody felt that I was. I always felt like I was part of the human race and we were all the same. But I think that's a big problem nowadays because it's hard to combat the outside pressures. And of course, you have television now, which to me, sort of formulates the American way of life rather than shows it as it is. I don't know. We didn't have television. In fact, for goodness sakes, I guess very few people even had a radio when I was coming up as a child. I don't remember radio. Of course, I guess we were the last ones to get whatever it was that was coming out. And I, for myself, and I don't think my brothers and sisters, maybe they would have to speak for themselves, but I don't think that we felt we were missing anything. I think we felt very complete because all of us liked to read and all of us were very much interested in school and none of us minded working hard. And we always had plenty of that. So we were never idle. We certainly kept busy, that's for sure, which is a good thing, I think. I think children nowadays need to have more something that's meaningful to them to do, because we don't they don't have most children don't have chores and they don't really participate too much in anything. They feel like they're deprived if they don't have everything that's advertised on the radio, on the television. There's a lot of difference. There's sure a lot of difference. And I don't think we should laugh too much at the old-fashioned values, because they will outlast all the new fads. They always have. It will come back. I think about every 20 years we have a sort of a revolution. I can remember the flappers and the Charleston. I was a little kid. I must have been about maybe 5 or 6 or something like that. Some of the neighbors taught me how to do the Charleston. I can remember that now. And then they had what they call flappers. Well, there were only few of those. Most of them didn't affect the mass of the population. Most of them were still, houshousewives with an apron on and had their own thing, which they were. People just seem to be more content. I don't know why. Maybe they didn't know enough to be. I don't think we've bettered anything. I think we have a lot of comforts now, but I'm not too sure that's the answer, because we don't have happy people. Everybody I know is taking pills or boozing, or they just can't make it, you know, on their own. And if the drug industry ever disappears, I don't know what people will do. They'll have to face up to some of their problems and try to find a solution for them rather than just pills and booze and possessions. Possessions are very temporary. They wear out, you know. They break down, do they ever? But anyway, what else?
Were there special things that your family did as a unit together? Things that you enjoyed doing together? Time that you spent together?
We just stayed home, I guess. We never had any special outings or anything that I can remember. We rode the horse and the mule on the weekends. Instead of working them, we rode them. And I don't know, we just played together, climbed trees and things. And my mother would read the Bible and sleep. She was a great sleeper. I think there may be something to that for living a long life. She took an hour, I can remember. Went to bed early, and of course we got up early, and then she took a nap in the daytime, and that was when she was real young, you know, as kids were growing up. So maybe that's a good way to spend your time. The smoke bombing, running a chance. I suppose I could limit it to 5 or 6. That's my only vice. That's why I pursue it so vigilantly. I say that. It's my only vice.
Did your mother have interests outside the home, as far as friends that she spent time with,
just the neighbors. My mother was a very attractive woman. Maybe I can show you some pictures. And I can remember fellas used to, you know, try to hang around, but she didn't want none of that. She never, in fact, she never was interested, you know, in dating or anything. Well, at that time, he married once, and that was it. And I guess she was so busy trying to raise us kids, and she didn't feel like she could do justice to anything else. 7 kids is a lot for a woman to handle all alone. At that time, and see, none of my mother's family were anywhere. They were all back in Kentucky. She didn't have any family in New Mexico. Yeah, people were very, where we lived, were always very good friends and neighbors, and we would visit back and forth, as I remember. We never went on any trips or anything like that. We just stayed home. I like to stay home. I even like it now. I guess it conditions you to it, and I don't know. She was raised differently. My mother would go to church. That was an activity, and read the Bible a lot.
Did your children go to church as well?
Mm-hmm. Well, we were way out in the country. There really wasn't much of a church. From time to time, there would be a little, you know, something that we could walk to. We didn't have any way to go off anywhere very far. Yeah, and we would go somewhere. I remember they used to have the tents, you know, with the revival thing, and she would drag us all to that. Well, I guess some of us stayed home, some of us went. That was very rare, I guess. See, there was only one Catholic church that was in walking distance of where we were. We used to go to the Catholic Church from time to time, for Easter, you know, Christmas and things like that, with our friends who were Catholics. I mean, we were at that time Catholic. So, in fact, I guess my mother's background would have been Baptist, Southern Baptist. I don't know. My father, same thing. But we never. I guess all our activity was spent on making a living and going to school. Well, my mother was very much, you know, stayed at home. She just went to her job and came home. And I can remember from time to time, you know, the fellas would come around, what they used to call courting. And she said, "I think that old fool's trying to court me." That was it, you know, get away from here. We used to wish that my mother would, remarry, because she was very young when she and my father divorced, but she never had any desire to. I think the people were more strict about adhering to their religious rules and regulations than they are now, and that, you know, one marriage was enough for anybody, so they felt that way. Very few people were, you know, married more than once unless they were widowed and things like that. So, as I remember it, it wasn't a common thing. Most widows just lived their life alone after that. They never thought about going to the disco or the singles bar or anything. They wouldn't think of that. All that came later, and I don't know I don't really think they missed that much. Now, I don't feel I'm any qualified judge of the thing, but as I see people so unhappy nowadays, I don't think, because the women seem to be very, very, very satisfied. You know. Maybe they weren't. I'm just saying, I'm not a qualified judge, but I see a lot of people going to the disco and changing relationships every week or two and things like that, and they're not happy people. They're not whatever they're looking for, they certainly haven't found. So I don't know. I don't feel that I have the right to tell anybody else what to do, but my observation is that I don't see people as any happier. Content or feel that they're doing anything meaningful. Maybe they make a lot more money, but I don't think that satisfies the need, the human need. Maybe it's... And of course, neighbors help each other a lot. There weren't any doctors out there where we were. And when people were sick, neighbors used to go back and forth and help out and try out all the old remedies. And they'd sit up at night with people who were very sick. The neighbors would all come in and sit together and doctor what they could. It was a much better feeling than what we have now with neighbors now. You know, you're fighting over your fence is a half an inch on my property and things like that, where you're ready to kill each other over that little, you know. So what's an inch or two, a foot or two, or a yard or two of land, really? People are more important than things. And they'll always be more important than things, whether we realize it or not. People were here before things. I don't know, the way we're going, we may destroy the things and the people all at the same time, who knows. But I like to think that eventually we'll realize what we're doing wrong and stop, like depleting the natural resources. We certainly are going about that in a vicious way. And it will not last forever. And we keep talking about conserving energy, but I'll bet you every new home that's built has all the gadgets that people don't really need, and most of the time they don't use, and they are just that. There you go again. Evidently, the plan for the universe was that one house will not use that much energy for anything. And I see that, you know, we're talking about telling me not to water my lawn, and there's somebody with two swimming pools. Goodness sakes, doesn't make any sense, does it? Remember when we had the water shortage and we let all the grass dry? Die, but we never told anybody, don't fill up your swimming pool, did we? So actually, it's the same thing. When things are scarce, only the poor people are supposed to suffer. The wealthier people can afford to waste. They can afford to, but you see, the rest of the people, myself and other people that are not wealthy, are going to have to wake up, or the rich people are going to have to wake up. There's not going to be anything. There's not going to be enough for them. Even though they deprive us of everything, there's still not going to be enough for them to make it with, so they're going to have to eventually give up something and look to other ways to do it. I don't care too much about candlelight myself because my eyes are bad and I can't see to read by it, but otherwise it wouldn't bother me at all. So why can't we start conserving? I think of the future generations, there's not going to be anything left for them. They're going to be back to the I don't know if they can even have a kerosene lamp. They're going to be back to the wood. There's no more wood left to burn. I don't know what they're going to do. Because we're going to, like they say, we're depleting the oil. I kind of doubt that, though. I think the oil companies are lying to us.
They trap everywhere.
I think they are. But eventually, I can see where we should conserve it for future generations. Gasoline would become that type of energy would become up. Even if we are saving with it to look ahead to the future, and we're not coming up with anything to take its place, that's within reason that I know of, that I'm aware of. Back to the next question. Jeez, I get off the subject all the time.
I wanted to ask you about your clinics when you were young. You said that you lived in a community that was mainly Spanish speaking. I'm wondering if there were many other Anglo families.
Very few. There were, but very few. The majority of the families that lived out there were. We all played together, no problems. But play time was very limited. We had, like on Sunday, the rest of the time you were very busy and you didn't, that was the way things were done. And then you would usually go, your mother would let you go visit your girlfriend or some friend for an hour or two, and then you go over there and help them take care of their younger brothers and sisters. You played at school during recess. That's about what that amounted to. But we were very close, the neighbors and the friends that we had were. And very dependable. You always knew each other was there. You knew if you needed anything that you would give to them and they would give to you. It was a very, very nice exchange, which is difficult to find nowadays. And I think that's true of people that don't have a lot of possessions. They're very willing to share them. Possessions make you selfish to me. You want more and more and you become very grasping with them and you don't, you know, I would loan you my, you know, big valuable whatever we have that we claim are valuable now, but you might put a scratch on it, and I just I'm just not gonna let anybody touch it but me. And then somebody comes along and steals it from me. So I feel very fortunate that I don't have anything that anybody wants to steal. The house never been robbed. There's nothing in there that anybody would want but me. But I know that's a big problem nowadays too. You know. Hardly anyone that I know hasn't had their house broken into and robbed, or they haven't been robbed themselves in the street. Crime is such a problem. But let's not talk about crime. Let's go to the next problem.
Tell me about school. What school is like?
A little country school. I always liked school. Very much. A little country school there, and if we didn't make good grades, my mother would whip us, so quite naturally we made good grades. Yes, we would get a whipping for a bad report card. I had a terrible time in school. I have a very bad handwriting, and I'm going to blame the teacher for that, because she used to whip your hands. Teachers whip them. They whip the kids at school. And then have a bunch of cutting up. Boy, you know, you sat in class. I go to the schools nowadays, and I don't know how the teacher or the kids ever get them, you know, any kind of an exchange there, because there's always a bunch of kids wandering around and noise, and nobody talked or moved or anything. And I had a terrible time with my handwriting, and the teacher used to whip my hands with a ruler till they would just be purple. And I would do those damn, I don't think they do that anymore. There's a name for it. You know how you make the O's and the O's. Well, I used to do that by the hour, and I never wrote any better. I still can't write till I can read it myself hardly. But outside of that, I really loved school. But you did get to play. You got to play ball and things at recess, and you know, you got to play with your friends, and then everybody carried their lunch to school, and you ate lunch together, and it was real nice. Yeah. I think we enjoyed it more because we weren't. It was a rare thing to get to play, to get to associate with your little friends your own age, and things like that. Sometimes we'd walk down to the river and have a picnic. I remember that. Jesus, fill a basket up with food and then walk about. 15 miles to each your meal, and then walk back home and think you had a good time. We did have a good time too, very good time. But that's the big event there. There really wasn't much. I don't remember. I was a grown person before I ever went to the movies. I didn't feel like I was missing too much.
So junior high school and high school, you walked into Albuquerque.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember it was about 7 miles. I think they used to say 7 miles to town. As I say, you either walked or maybe some of the neighbors had a car. They gave you a ride. They were going down. You know, people were good that way. But most of the time, everybody walked. You weren't the only ones walking. That's for sure. Some people had a old Model T cars and I enjoyed that very much too. School always liked school.
In the wintertime, it snows.
Yeah, it snows from time to time. You get cold. The thing that bothered us, my sisters and I, we had to go out and feed the cows and milk them before we could go to school. And then you only had one pair of shoes. Very few people had one. Well, I take that back. Some people had a pair of shoes, and then we had a pair of shoes they called good shoes that you wore on Sunday. And you'd get your shoes dirty, you wouldn't have time to clean them. And that used to bother us a lot. You had to go out in the barn and milk a cow, you know, and you do get dirty. Your shoes get dirty. And we didn't have shoes to change, you know. We had in the wintertime, in the summertime, we went barefooted, so it was no problem. But I remember that was kind of... We would be trying to walk fast and wipe our shoes off at the same time and get to school on time. We were never late, either.
Were there activities that the school sponsored as you got into junior high school and high school?
No, I don't remember. Oh, I don't know. We just went to school and went home. I don't know whether they had. I don't recall any special thing that I could attend to because right after school I had to get home, milk the cows, so forth and so on. And we didn't fool around with it. I don't recall anything.
Did your mother prepare you at all for menstruation?
Oh, heavens, no. Nobody talked about anything like that in those days. Good heavens. But it happened anyway, didn't it? No. They didn't talk about things like that. It was really hush-hush.
What was it like for you then when you first started?
Well, I guess it's always a surprise, I think, even when somebody prepares you. But I don't know. I suppose nature does prepare you in a way, because I'm sure my sisters and I all mastered it, just like, you know, people do nowadays that know what to expect. But no, there was nothing like that in school, and no, my mother never talked about intimate things. That was a no-no. You didn't. I guess the kids died before. There wasn't, you know, kids talked to each other. Actually, you knew that your older friends would mention things to you and stuff like that. As far as any real information, you know, forget it, because it just didn't happen. And your parents didn't prepare you, nor did the school. Although I think the school is taking over too much of the role now. I think it's very important, but I think parents should be, I think the parents should get there first, in other words. With the information. I do think parents should give their children sex information and personal information and things like that, both boys and girls. I think the boys end up being the uneducated ones as far as that type of thing goes. I really feel that way. I think probably even now we don't stress, maybe we're just beginning to stress parenthood. There's two parents, and we've never, you know, it's always been the girl's responsibility. Whatever happens belongs to the girl, and I think more and more, and I'm glad to see that, although I'm not too much for sterilization. But I don't see any reason why either partner, why does it always have to be the woman sort of thing, you know? Of course, I was for women's live long before it was a popular subject, just like I was anti-war long before anybody else would say it out loud, and as I say, I was very unpopular when I would voice my opinion occasionally about war, that I felt war was very inhumane. It certainly is. It just doesn't make any sense to take, at least if you would take the sick and the persons who were crippled and things like that. No, you've got to be in absolutely perfect mental and physical health to go and get killed. And I couldn't see that either. I would not want you to take the infirm or anyone like that, but it would make a little more sense to a senseless deed to take people who are not in perfect physical condition. And those, I think women should go. If men have to go, I think women should go too. That was very unpopular at that time too. But, you know, don't discriminate. Take both sexes. If it's got to be done, then do it. At least try to do it fairly. And I think that's very unpopular even now, and women are not going to have their daughters drafted, but I think there's going to be a draft. Now, what we should have brains enough to do is all come together and say, you know, forget the draft and the prepare for war and all. Let's prepare for peace. We've never prepared for peace. We've always prepared for to make somebody a big pile of money, which is usually what happens in a war, is that some, you know, somebody, some big business and arms and ammunition get rich, and we have, and those, all anybody has to do is just go visit any veterans hospital, and that's just the ones that are in there. That's not the ones that are out, that how it affected their lives, and, you know, because nobody can go through something like that and not be affected. I don't care how much they tell you different. They're human, and they just can't. There's bound to be some. And I know that, well, especially my brother who was in the Marines, because he was one of those five that raised the flag over there, that there was only those few of them that got in. You know, saw a lot of things, and he was a mess for years and years. He's just getting old now. He's just beginning to straighten up a little bit. And he's the first one to tell you that it wasn't an easy thing to do. Which, what for? I think I'm going to have to answer the phone.
As you got older and were in high school and that, what kinds of social activities did you have?
Oh, very little, I guess. We had a fiesta, the little place where I lived had a fiesta once a year in the summertime. That was a big event. Everybody went to that. There was very little in the way of social. You know, the neighbors, we visited with the neighbors all the time and back and forth, but I don't remember. I really never had time for social life, and I'm still caught in that same trap. I just don't have time. Because we when we went to school, and then as soon as we were old enough, we got little old fiddling jobs to help out, you know. And as I say, I always had to bring home a good report card, so that took a lot of effort, because we were a long ways from the library. Sometimes my mother would let us go to the library, I read every book in the library in Albuquerque. It wasn't, that's not as great an accomplishment as it sounds, because it was a very small library, but really I love to read. I used to read 2 and 3 books, so I stay up all night and read. I still like to read. But as far, I guess that was my social life, reading, and I used to like to walk. People used to take a walk. That was a recreation, you know, like watching TV or going to the movies or something. People used to walk. Your friends all get together, you go for long walks. People don't do that anymore. I guess they think you're crazy if you talk about going for a walk. Couples that were dating went for walks. What else was there to do? You know, we're talking about way out in the country. There's nothing there. There's no movies. I don't even remember any beer joints or anything when I was coming up. They got plenty of them over there now, but really people did just sort of, you went to church. And I worked part-time when I was going to high school, so I didn't have time for any social life. We had the fiesta once a year. That was really great.
Where did you work part-time?
I worked in a health food sanitarium that was situated out there close to where we live. We picked strawberries in the summertime, and I worked in some hotel where it was a boarding house. They didn't have hotels, and they had boarding houses. You had room and board there in the same place, and I helped out in the kitchen and cleaned the rooms, and some of these old lecherous men used to chase you around the bed. Those aren't jokes either. They do that. They do chase you like you see in the movies. They do chase you around the damn bed. I was about 12 or 13, just a kid. I think about that now. I think those son of a gun should have been shot. But always pretty fast, and I managed to get away. I didn't keep that job too long. I didn't tell my mother why. You couldn't tell your mother, Dad, either, and tell her why we quit. My sister tried it, and then she passed it on to me. I didn't have any better luck than she did, so we finally found us something else. I don't know what we did. Something else to do.